Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. The goal of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. We want to address things that are going on in today's society, today's choices, and how it affects tomorrow's community. We want to also talk about things that have gone on before that sometimes we have not paid attention to as we should, and how those have long-term ramifications on our society. And today is a good topic. We're going to talk today about a program that many of you may have heard of and lots of you may have not heard of, and it is called Honor Flight. We're going to talk with folks from the Honor Flight Network and the Central Coast chapter of Honor Flight. It's an organization that was created solely to honor American veterans and, at the present time, veterans of the Korean War and World War II and their service. And it's a program to transport those folks, our heroes and veterans, back to Washington, D.C., to both visit Washington and to reflect on their service and recognize their sacrifice and the sacrifice of their friends at some of the memorials in Washington. At the present time, on a national basis, as of 2016, there's over 20,500 veterans that have had the chance to return to Washington, D.C., or in some cases go only for the first time to visit. And there are nationally at least 27,000 veterans of the Korean War and World War II that have still not been able to go, that are on the waiting list for that. This is Veterans Day weekend coming up. Memorial Day weekend coming up. We unfortunately interchange those sometimes, and I do apologize for that. Anyway, Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and we thought this was really a good opportunity to talk about this. With me today is Bear McGill, who is a board member of Honor Flight of Central Coast, and Bruce McGrath, who is also a board member, and Bob Busick. Bob Busick is an Honor Flight attendee and a World War II veteran, and we're going to have an opportunity to talk about this program. Want to remind you, this is a call-in program. If you'd like to participate in the discussion, the phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. This is your program as much as it's our program. This is a community radio station, and our community and how we honor our community is part of what we do. So we'd like you to be part of this discussion if you'd like to participate. The Honor Flight program has been around for a while, and I want to kind of get some history, so I'm not quite sure, either Bear or Bruce, who wants to start first with some history of the program generally and the Central Coast involvement with it.
Well, I'll go ahead and start. You know, Honor Flight's been around since 2005. It got started back in Ohio. A gentleman back there was working with a bunch of World War II veterans as a physician assistant. And, you know, the World War II memorial wasn't completed until 2005. So he had asked some of the veterans he was working with if they planned on going down to see their memorial. And, you know, a lot of them told him, oh, yeah, we're going to go down. And then about 6 months later, he, you know, was talking with the veterans again and asked them, you know, have you been down to see your memorial? And, oh, no, not yet, but, you know, we're going to go down there. So so he decided he was going to round up five other pilots, and they flew a bunch of World War II veterans from Ohio down to Washington to see their memorial. And after they were there, they saw just a huge change in these veterans. And that's kind of how Honor Flight was born.
Wow, that's a rather succinct way of looking at what I thought and still think is probably a, how do we make sure that we honor these people? And that's a very, very straightforward way to do it. So out of that, how did the Central Coast chapter get involved?
Well, you know, as years went on, other hubs started being created throughout the country. And, you know, Kern County over in Bakersfield started a hub about 5 years ago. And my son went as a guardian on their flight, their first flight. And, you know, so he called me up and and said, hey, I'm going to go on this honor flight with Kern County. Can you guys help me out? I'm like, well, what do you need? He says, well, I need $1,200 to go as a guardian. I'm like, okay, we'll see what we can do for you and get you on this flight. And so he went on his first flight, and a month later he calls us back up, says, hey, can you help me out again? I'm going to go on a second flight. And we said, sure. And then after he went on his second flight, he went to the Kern County hub and said, you know, I'm from the Central Coast, and we have a lot of veterans over there, and I'd like to go over there and start rounding up veterans and take on this flight. And so they allowed him to come over, and he started going out and talking to VFWs and stuff, and he rounded up some veterans, and we flew out of San Luis in, I think it was in 2013, our first flight under Kern County Hub. And we took three flights with Kern County, and then we decided we needed our own hub here on the Central Coast. And so we had met some people through Welcome Home Heroes and some Vietnam veterans, and they came to a meeting one night, and we all decided, yes, we needed to start our own hub here on the Central Coast. And so my son's the one that basically got us started here on the Central Coast.
Yeah, we probably need to clarify. Your son was supposed to be with us today. He is currently in the process of returning from the most recent flight, and I guess they got stranded on the way back here the other day. So
yeah, they,
with all due respect to whatever airline got them stranded for a while, it's a wonderful program. I'd like them to stay out of that part. But I believe is he in Phoenix on his way back? Is that what's going on?
He's on his way back. Actually, the flight did return last night with all the veterans and most of the guardians. And unfortunately, he got stuck back there. I'm not quite sure the whole reason. Something about there was a glitch with the system, and you know, they didn't think they have as many passengers as they had, and so they overfilled the plane with fuel. Then they had to unload fuel, and so yeah, he ended up having to stay, and so he was hoping to be here, but he's still stuck there.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that what he's stuck with is being part of this program. So it's, you know, if you told me he got stuck in I don't know, Tahiti, we would be less sympathetic to his situation right now. You bring up an interesting part of this, and what is the guardian part of the process? Because that's probably something that most of us have no idea what it is.
Well,
I don't.
These veterans that we're taking back there, they're all, as you can imagine, are in their 80s, 90s. The oldest one we've taken back there was 101, I believe. And
so Bob's lying about his age already then. Okay. Yeah,
fine. So anyhow, we require every veteran to have what we call a guardian. And that guardian goes along, and his job is to take care of that veteran and see to anything the veteran needs. And the veteran stays with the guardian stays with the veteran the whole trip. If the veteran goes to the bathroom, the guardian goes with him to the bathroom. If the veteran wants to go look at the trees, the guardian goes and looks at the trees.
Are some of these guardians family members or have some other connection to the veteran, or are they all
We like them to be. We like the guardians to be family, and we like the guardians to be a generation removed. And the reason for that is, again, it goes back to the age of the veterans, is the veterans are in frail health. Mm-hmm. And if we have a guardian that's in frail health, it's hard for them to take care of the veteran.
Understood, yeah. Bob, you shook your head as far as the connection to the guardian. So you're a veteran, a World War II veteran, and you've been on an honor flight program. I guess I don't know where to begin. Just tell us what the experience was for you.
Well, it was a great experience for me. I didn't realize how great it was. And my guardian was my son, which is Bob Jr., or second, rather. And it was to me, it was about the most exciting trip I've been on, except World War II. That wasn't very exciting, though. But anyway, it was a big surprise was when I got to Baltimore. My sons, two sons, were there, the oldest and youngest, and they were a great help to, Bruce was there. They helped the people, the old people, all the old people off the bus, you know, and different things, and they did a great job. And anyway.
The whole process of, we live in a society that hopefully pays attention to its history. We live in a society and a culture that, we have the AMVETS, we have the VFW, we have the American Legion, we have organizations that are designed and exist as a means for veterans to stay connected to their comrades and their peers and their history. When this was first offered to you, where did it fit in your thinking of something that you wanted to ever do?
Well, it was the first time it was offered to me, and when we had a luncheon at the San Luis Country Club. So, anyway, it was my birthday, and it wasn't on account of my birthday that they had that. It just happened to be
with me. Yeah.
But I decided to go there first, and then a friend of mine, Cy, he's very much interested in helping people, packages going overseas and everything. He talked me into going in this flight, mm-hmm. He said, so I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, I'd go ahead and do it, and I'm sure happy that I got to go on that flight, and it was, very privileged to go do that.
How many veterans were traveling with you on that flight?
I think there was 60, wasn't there?
No, 24. There was 24 veterans and 24 guardians, plus...
I thought it was 60 altogether.
Yeah, plus myself and our photographer, Loretta Borges, and I think there was a couple other family members that went along. Yeah, your two grandsons went along, and there was a couple other family members from another veteran that went along also.
So how many local veterans because I know you're tied to Santa Barbara and San Luis County, so Central Coast veterans, how many veterans have you been able to let participate in this so far?
We've taken roughly 200 veterans, approximately 160 World War II veterans, and about 40 Korean veterans as of today's date. And we do have a trip set up for October. Mm-hmm. We have, I think we have about 15 World War II vets already set up for that. And then the rest will be Korean veterans added on to that trip as well.
Is the process that the logistics of the trip, is there a trip going on somewhere from the United States every day, pretty much, or is it synchronized so that everybody gets to Washington as a larger group together?
No, we Honor Flight. We travel during the springtime and early fall, because as you get into summertime, it gets a little hot and humid back there, and you really don't want to.
And in January, it's very cold.
It's very cold. So there's a short window of flight time. And it's usually in the spring and early fall. Right now is one of the busiest times of the year for Honor Flight. Mm-hmm. You pretty much have an Honor Flight group from somewhere in Washington, D.C., pretty much every day.
I just got back yesterday, and when we were back there, the hotel we were staying in, there was us and two other Honor Flight hubs in that hotel for the next 3 days.
Let me remind folks, we are talking with folks from Honor Flight Central Coast, which is a program to honor and recognize the veterans from, at this point, World War II and the Korean War, with an opportunity to go back to the war memorials and to Washington, D.C. And we're glad they can be with us. This is our chance, Central Coast Voices' chance, to make sure that that as part of Memorial Day weekend, we remember these veterans and talk about this program. We're glad that you're listening. The program is a call-in program. If you'd like to share some of your own experiences or questions you may have, the phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. Of course, this is KCBX Public Radio, and we are a community station, and you're the community that we serve. So we'd welcome you being part of this discussion. The receiving end in Washington, what is the process? And I guess, you know, Bob, you may be able to share what was your first experience? You got off the plane. You were probably not terribly prepared for what you were going to have the opportunity to go through. I'm curious, how's the process work logistically, and what was your experience?
Well, the biggest experience is that when we got on a bus, and I couldn't believe it. We had an escort in front and an escort in back. They didn't stop for nothing. No stoplights, and we got to all the way to Arlington Cemetery. The National Cemetery there, and which was a great experience. You know, I never realized how great it would be, you know. And I'm happy that I had a chance to go and see that, you know. So
they deal with you like a government motorcade.
Yeah,
they honor you the way you should be honored.
But Bruce will tell you about that motorcycle caught in front and went in the car back. They didn't stop for nothing. No stoplights. It was kind of a funny deal. We all laughed, and he went down the freeway, and he just parted the freeway, bumper to bumper, and he went right down the freeway. We never stopped one time, I don't think. We go till we got to Arlington.
Nope.
Not one time we stopped, and it was really...
Our veterans are treated like royalty.
As they should be.
Yes.
Yeah, when we leave the hotel, you know, we got that police escort. And, you know, anybody that's been back to Washington, you know how terrible the traffic is back there. And if you're coming in from Maryland, it can take you a good hour and a half to 2 hours to get into Washington. But having that police escort really makes it nice. I mean, I think we can get there in about 45 minutes from a hotel to Arlington Cemetery. And like Bob said, it's like parting of the sea going down that freeway. I mean, it's bumper to bumper, and they're pretty much stopped. But the police escort back there, the park police, they do a fantastic job, and they make sure we get to where we need to be. So,
yeah. The I had the privilege of not – I've not been participating in your program, but I had the privilege of working with kind of an offshoot of your program recently, because there was an effort to get some veterans to Hawaii during the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And one of the things that that I really realized, I mean, we were dealing in that case with the logistics of getting a veteran who's, I think he was 92, the opportunity to be there. There's probably no discreet way to ask this question, but I have to ask it. The clock is running.
Yes, it is.
How do we get them all there?
We need money.
Yeah, it's, you know, time is of the essence with these guys. I mean, you know, your World War II guys, we've been told that, you know, they're passing away at around 450 a day. And, you know, there were 16 million World War II veterans, and we're under a million as of today. And so, you know, we're out there, we're trying to find them. And if there's anybody out there that knows of any World War II veterans here in San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, you know, please look us up online, and let's get them signed up and get them on one of these trips. We're also reaching out to Ventura and Oxnard area as well. There's no hubs in those areas, so if we get a veteran from those areas, we're getting them on our list, and we're taking them.
It's a truly fantastic program. I'm glad you're here and glad we can talk about it. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good thanks morning. For your patience. Good afternoon. It's actually afternoon last time I checked. Sorry about that. Anyway, what are your thoughts or questions?
Well, I was a guardian on the Honor Flight last year, and I want to give a big shout-out to Bear and the entire Central Coast Honor Flight group. The veteran that I was a guardian for was 95 years old, a World War II veteran, machine gunner. And the experience for these veterans, and by the way, there's no cost to the veterans. The veterans are fully paid for. The guardians pay their own way. Same thing with family members if they are guardians. And it's a life-changing experience to be a guardian. And to visit all the memorials, Arlington Cemetery, the Marine Corps Memorial, Vietnam Memorial, Korean War Memorial. It goes on and on and on. It's just incredible. Yeah. So I would challenge, by the way, I'm a member of the Rotary Club of Cambria, and for the last 2 years, we have sponsored 5 veterans each year to go back on honor flight. And I would challenge the other service clubs out there, the Lions, the Kiwanis, to think about doing the same. Sponsor a veteran. You won't regret it.
What first got your attention to participate in this, Jerry?
Bear came to our Rotary Club as a speaker and told us about the program, and I immediately wanted to sign up and go and pay tribute. I'm also a veteran, but I was in during the Vietnam era.
Yeah, Jerry, you're absolutely right. It is life-changing. I know when I went my first time as a guardian, it really, really touched my heart. And I know what you're feeling, and I'll tell you, it definitely did change my life. And I'm very thankful that I found this program because it is one of the best programs out there.
It sure is. It sure is. And I hope you get to mention the guys at Mission Barbecue and what they do for
us. Okay, so there was a plug in there somewhere. Okay, thanks, Jerry. We'll let them now mention Barbecue. Okay, so what's the involvement of Mission Barbecue?
Well, Mission Barbecue is a place back there that actually his sons served, and they wanted to do something special, so they opened up this barbecue place back there to honor veterans and stuff. And so every time we go back there, we always stop and have lunch. The amazing thing about Mission Barbecue is every day at noon, everything stops and they play the national anthem and everybody stands up. And it is just a very awesome experience and great food.
Yeah. Employees stop, everybody stops. And when we pull up to Mission Barbecue, of course they know we're coming, but when we pull up in our bus, the employees come out of the store to greet us and welcome our veterans.
And for maybe a number of our listeners who have never been to Washington, because I've been on a number of times, the wheels of Washington are the wheels of government. And the wheel, you know, it's not an environment where this is just a once in a blue moon occurrence. They're living and experiencing the workings of government and the wheels of the machine every day. Mm-hmm. So to have a place like that barbecue that would still make sure that there's the honor and recognition every day is just wonderful.
Day. Yeah. Yep. And it's not just that one restaurant. They have 51 restaurants now up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Uh-huh. They started out with one that opened on 9/11. And they now have 51 restaurants. And at noon every day, all 51 restaurants do that.
My goodness.
I was going to mention, but yeah. I want to thank all the people that everywhere we went. Phoenix, it was in San Luis, too, there was a group of people, a large group of people everywhere we went. And I want to thank them for thanking us for our service. You know, it was really thankful, you know, Yeah. Nice of them to do that.
Yeah. Bob, are you a member of a veterans organization?
No.
Okay. So I'm curious about that because there are a lot of veterans that a lot of their daily social life is tied to the VFW, tied to the American Legion. And for other veterans, like in your case, that's not necessarily a daily tie to them to that part of their history. So when you look at this process of Honor Flight, had you left it behind your to some extent, or was it something that you continued the recognition of even though you weren't involved with the veterans organizations before you went on Honor Flight?
Well, I did attend a vet center, and I'd recommend anybody that's been, you know, in World War II or any of the wars, in fact, that they did a lot of help, you know, they did a lot of help for, like, they helped me an awful lot because I was pretty hot-tempered, and Phil Hobbs, he's at Phil, I went there for 3 years, and he did a great deal for me, he helped me.
Yeah, because you're of the veterans generation that I don't know if they even knew what PTSD was when the end of World War II. It was not something that was in our vocabulary.
No. We called it shell shock.
But I think it was still, to some extent, it was sloughed off as something that we can't address. We know it's there, and
these guys came back from seeing the worst of the worst of humanity, came back, and some of them came back and went to work that afternoon. There was no recognition. There was no, are you okay? Mm-hmm. It was, get back to work, kid. And they gave up their youth for this country.
Yeah, I've spoke with a lot of them and asked them, you know, hey, you know, when the war was over, you know, what happened when you got back? And, you know, you talk to them and they say, well, you know, I got back and got off the transport ship and I either hitchhiked home or took a bus home. And, you know, once I got home, I went right back to work. And so, you know, a lot of these veterans, they didn't have the homecoming like the ones that were here when the war was over. And, you know, and so now that's another part of Honor Flight is that these guys are being recognized and thanked for what they've done for our country. You know, and it just amazes me that I now know why these guys are known as the greatest generation. You know, they, you know, lived through the Depression, World War II. You know, they built this country and have given us our freedom. And so that's why they are the greatest generation, and I really look up to them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the reference to the greatest generation, I think, because before that book came out, I think that there was a lot of – there was a gap, not a gap in our history, but a gap in our in how much history we paid attention to.
Yes.
So I think that was that's a great piece of – Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw wrote that.
Yes.
Just a brilliant piece of literature.
Yeah. Jerry mentioned what a life-changing event it was for him. I have yet to go on one of these honor flights when a veteran or a guardian didn't tell me how much it changed their lives, or a son didn't learn something new about his father. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys came back and they put it away and they didn't talk about it, and that's not good. And these guys will come back and they'll go to these trips and they're there with their guardians and the guardians are with their veterans, and you might have a grandson that's escorting a grandpa, and they're going, gosh, grandpa, I didn't know you were shot at, or you know, and it's life changing for them too, to wake up and go, wow, look at what grandpa did.
Yeah, I think historically, the observers to a lot of things in history, if you're a veteran who lived through that process, mm-hmm. you've worked through certain things in your life probably. if you don't know about the process and your first experience is talking to your parent or an uncle or someone you maybe didn't even know before and with something like this, I'm sure that's a different experience.
Sure.
What comes to mind is, and there's probably no gracious way to ask this question, is there any counseling for the guardians that come back? Because I'm thinking that some of these guardians have things to work through that they didn't realize were issues to work through.
I really don't know of any counseling out there except, talking to the other guardians and they're just amazed at what they hear. And, it's like I said, it is very life changing. And, we've had several guardians that have signed up and they've been on multiple trips now. So, we do have veterans out there that don't have guardians. And so, we're always looking for people to sign up to be a guardian. You don't have to be, a family member, even though we would prefer a family member to go. But there are veterans who they just don't have a family member. And so if there's anyone out there that would love to sign up as a guardian, feel free to go on our website and sign up as a guardian. And what happens is when we book a flight, if we have a veteran that needs a guardian, we send out a big email to all of the guardians we have on our list. And, we ask anybody that would like to go, respond back to us, and then we will select a guardian who has not been on a trip yet.
My first flight was, I didn't even know the guy. Bear called me and introduced me to Honor Flight, and I went, I'm retired, I can do this. And so I did, and they gave me a name, and I called him up, and we met for lunch down at Santa Maria, and this guy was 96 years old and ran away from home to join the Navy, so he was my very first guardian. I didn't know him.
He didn't have any living family that could go, or was it just an opportunity for
you? His family all lived out of the area. And he's in excellent health and everything, and just wanted somebody to go. And so I did it. And it was, it was a life-changing experience for me, too.
And he did a great job, too.
they've let him come back again.
Yeah. So
and again. Yeah. And again.
Yeah. Very likable person. And,
So you got to Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do in Washington?
Well, we got to see the monuments. You know, it was a good experience. I never realized it was there like that. And we spent the whole day in Arlington's Arlington National Cemetery there, seeing all the monuments, and my favorite one was Abraham Lincoln. It was really nice. That was a good one. And then the second day we spent Annapolis half a day and a naval, academy, and then we spent half a day at Fort Henry, which was really great. I didn't realize that it was like that. They had these cannons all over the coast there, and all the big, they were pretty good sized cannons. I didn't realize that they were that big, and they had the balls, the big balls, all stacked up there, and in the bunkers, and it was something to see. I didn't realize that was like that. That was when the English tried to invade the United States. But
yeah, we're friends with those guys now.
Yeah, we are. They're friends with us.
Good point. Yeah. Will you share a little bit of your history during World War II?
Well, I was went in the service in 1943. I was 18 years old, and I spent my training in Fort Leonardwood, Missouri. And we went to, from there. We went to where was that? North Carolina, Fort Bragg, and then we left there and we went to New York and we deployed from New York. And we went to Scotland, And from Scotland, we went to England, and we stayed there for about 3 weeks. And then we got on the LST boats in Southampton, and we went over. I was on the second wave on the Normandy, and I was thankful I could run. I was 19 years old, and they were still shelling. Shelling was pretty good there. And then I joined Patton, and we fought through France. And we got through the Siegfried Line, which is a border line of Germany and France, and we captured the pillboxes, and we couldn't get our tanks till they blew them up. And it was about 3 months, and not quite 3 months, they blew them up, so we get our tanks through. And then we went through Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, back through Germany, and we went all the way through. Then up there, we ended up in Embassy, Austria, and that was the saddest part of one of the saddest parts. We saw that concentration camp. We liberated it, got there just in time to save all those people, you know, that was there. And
which concentration camp was that?
Embassy. Okay. Embassy, Austria. And we did have some good times afterwards. And there was a Trondkirchen Embassy Lake there, and we got a motor boat launched with a whole 80 persons, and we went fishing with hand grenades and rifles. And we kind of enjoyed that at the last there a little bit, you know.
Bob, don't let the fishing game hear you say that. I don't think fishing with hand grenades is
fishing
a
with, fishing with well,
we were doing it the easy way.
I was trying to think of an answer to that or a response to that. I couldn't come. Okay, that may be the strangest reference we've had on the radio program before, is fishing, World War II veterans fishing with hand grenades in Austria.
Well, we used the potato mashers to them. We didn't do very much of it, though. We just one afternoon, you know.
Explain what a potato masher is.
Yeah, that's it looks like an M8. Firecracker there, got a T, like, you know, a T on it. You know, they're concussion grenades, and boy, they're powerful. And they work better than a hand grenade.
Yeah, don't have any around the house now.
No. I wouldn't recommend them.
Yeah. See, can you give us a chronicle of the program the same for every honor flight? As well, the structure of the program is the same for every honor flight, or pretty much.
You mean across country?
When the veterans get to Washington, what is the structure there? For their program,
there's a group that's part of honor flight in Washington. It's called the ground crew. They're there at the airport in Washington. Well, there's actually a ground crew in Phoenix, and there's a ground crew in Washington at Baltimore Airport that we fly into. Mm-hmm. Other hubs fly into other airports back there. But anyhow, there's the ground crew, and they're there to help us get through the airport at Washington. So they're there with wheelchairs for the veterans. Mm-hmm. And they meet us there. They work behind security at the airport. So they're there, and they have the wheelchairs. Veterans come off of the plane. If for instance, we fly into Phoenix, the Phoenix airport is fabulous with us. They'll park our plane incoming next to our outgoing airplane. So we don't go on a hike. Across the airport.
So are you on a chartered flight out of Phoenix to Baltimore then?
Or we're not big enough.
No, okay. we're on a commercial flight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Bruce was saying, you know, we'll fly out of San Luis Obispo into Phoenix and transfer planes there. But what's amazing is that once we land in Phoenix, as we come off the plane, that terminal is decorated, and, you know, there's hundreds of people there waiting for these veterans to come off and just – are hooping, hollering, shaking their hands, hugging them, kissing them, thanking them, and giving them the recognition that they so well deserved that they never got. And then the same thing happens when we get the BWI airport, they're getting the same recognition there by the whole, all the people in the terminals. And then, you know, we get on our bus and we get over to our hotel and we have dinner set up for the fellas that night. Next morning, you know, we're up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is 3 o'clock our time.
And I know that feels like boot camp. Forget it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's,
we like to say it's reveille.
Yeah, and but our trips are pretty much set up the same. Different hubs will set up different things. You know, we usually will hit Arlington Cemetery first thing, then we'll go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, over to the Air Force Memorial, then we'll head over to the Women's Memorial, and from there we will go to the Korean, Lincoln, and Vietnam, which are across the river on the memorial there,
the mall.
Yeah. And then we end up down at the World War II Memorial. And, you know, the amazing thing is everywhere we go, the public – they're wanting to come up and just thank these guys and get their pictures, and mm-hmm. and the junior high kids and high school kids are there, and it's just amazing to see them come up and just really want to talk with these guys. It's awesome.
I have seen people visiting our country from Korea, and I have seen the families come up and thank our veterans for saving their country and making it a great country. That happened at the World War II Memorial.
You can't expect that recognition, my goodness.
No.
And they also wanted to have pictures taken with this.
Yeah. The kids love to have pictures taken with them. And,
wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing.
And then I'll tell you, you haven't lived until you've been at the Changing of the Guard at Arlington National Cemetery, and you've been a guardian, and you've taken a guy in a wheelchair who can barely walk.
Yeah. For clarification, that's at the Tomb of the Unknown
Soldier.
That's
at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Yeah, the Changing of the Guard. And you've taken this World War II veteran that can barely walk, and when they do the Changing of the Guard, the two officers, tomb guards, go through this whole ceremony, and they turn. The last thing they do is they turn and they salute the tomb. And you haven't lived until you've seen a guy who can barely walk want you to help him stand up and salute the tomb. There. It's just incredible the respect these guys have.
It's obviously an experience we have to make sure as many veterans get to as possible.
Absolutely. You know, the other nice thing about Honor Flight is that you get these veterans together, and a lot of them, they don't know each other. Like Bob, he doesn't belong to any veterans group. We've had guys on trips matter of fact, one of the stories, I had two guys come into our meet and greet luncheon that were on a two submarines, and they did not know each other. And they come to this meeting, this luncheon, and the one guy is wearing his submarine outfit, and the other guy goes over and sits down, and you know, they start talking. We'll come to find out they're on two different subs in the Pacific, but they watched the same ship sink that they both shot, but they did not know each other until they went on this honor flight trip.
Do me a favor, Kate. We'll bring a chair over for you. Okay, the missing guy from Phoenix.
I'm here now. Okay. Sorry, I'm late.
We didn't expect you to get here. So your dad says nice things about you. But
well, most of them are true.
They're all true.
It's Greg, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's your son.
Okay. You just came back.
That's correct. Got into Phoenix last night, and I made the executive decision to step off the plane. Had 21 veterans with us last night, and it's very important for those guys to get home.
So the rumor was not that you wanted to make sure you weren't on the radio.
Correct, yeah. I was actually nervous about these guys being on the radio. You never know what they're going to say about me.
We got stranded there, too.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. Like I said, sorry I'm late, but okay. This honor flight trip is a – I don't know what you guys have covered or not, but it's just a –
There's a quiz later on. Okay.
What's that?
There's a quiz later on.
Okay, excellent. Right. Well, there's a – it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, not for just the veterans but the Guardians alone. I've been privileged enough to go on about 9 flights now. And every time we take a new trip, it's a new trip is what it is. It's not the same thing. On my way over, I heard you asking, is it the same program over – each time you guys use the same program. It's not. It's every time we have something special happen. For example, yesterday or this last trip, two guys sitting next to each other on the airplane. They're both career guys. One Marine Corps, one Air Force. He says, well, what years were you in Korea? He says, oh, I was there 52 and 53. I was there 52 and 53. Well, what years were you in Vietnam? He says, I was there 67 to 69. He says, I was there 67, 69. So, yeah, but then I was in Germany in 81, 82. He goes, I was in Germany 81 and 83. And these guys had been in the same bases over the last 30 years, and now they're meeting each other for the first time on the airplane. We had a 3-star general out there at the World War II Memorial greeting these guys. You know, who is that guy? So I go over there and ask him. I say, who are you, sir? He says, I'm a 3-star retired general out of the Marine Corps, General Bergman, now congressman. You know, you happen to know retired Colonel James McGinley. Says I gave his retirement speech. So it's just such a small community that brings all these veterans into one place at one time. It's always such a humbling experience.
I'm glad you made it back in time today, Greg.
Thank you.
My goodness. Anyway, it's not often we have a radio program that's hard to get through because it is so incredibly touching. We need to honor all these veterans.
Yeah, and that's what Honor Flight's about, you know. It all started because these World War II veterans weren't getting to see their memorial. Mm-hmm. And they were so close out of Springfield, Ohio. They're halfway there, and they're still not doing it. But also, less than 2% of World War II veterans actually got a homecoming. And that's what these guys are getting, is a homecoming. To have them, those children and people come up to them and shake their hands and say, you know, thank you for what you did. My father served in World War II, but he never got to see this memorial. Thank you for what you did. Well, what they don't understand is it's not just for the living veterans. It's for all veterans. That's really what World War II was about, saving this country from dictatorship, tyranny, the fascist government. And that's what our men and women then and now are still doing.
We're lucky to have guys like you that want to do this.
We have to. We have to pay the respect where the respect is due. All our veterans go in signing that blank check, as I like to call it. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where they're going to be. They don't know what's going to go on with their family while they're gone. We like to say we're cashing that check for these guys right now. And that's what I feel like we're doing for these veterans.
Awesome. You can give the mic back to Bruce now. Okay. We'll let him say something here. Anyway, we talked about it beforehand. I make sure that there's an opportunity at the end of the program for my guests to really have a chance to talk about without me in the way of the conversation, if you will. And I want to make sure, Bob, that you get enough time because I want you're the guy that's lived through both sides of this. You lived through World War II. You're still with us to talk about it, and you've been honored with Honor Flight. So what are your parting thoughts?
Well, I'd sure like to do one again.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah. It was a good experience, and I really am thankful I got to go on it and have my son go with me and, as a guardian. That was a plus. Mm-hmm. And
do you and your son still talk about it?
Yeah, we still you know, I got pictures. I got to send. So I told him I sent some pictures, and he's got pictures too. So we're gonna compare them, I guess, together. And we talk about it, you know, and about different things, you know, mm-hmm. and also about the barbecue, which was great.
Everybody's talking about it. It all gets back to food, guys. Yeah. It all gets back to food.
The food was good. And the cake was real good.
which is one of the reasons why I took the Navy over the Army.
Because food's better.
The food's better. Yeah. Well, they're more square meals, if you
well,
will.
Well, we had the pay rations where they live real high in the hog.
Yeah. Bruce, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to talk about our funding.
Go ahead.
It's all it's public funded. There's no salaries anywhere in this organization. Every penny goes to get these guys back to Washington and to visit their memorials. It costs us about $35,000 to run a trip. We've fundraised enough to do three trips this year. And if anybody would like to help us out, we would sure appreciate it. Every penny counts.
How do we find you?
You can go on the internet, and you can go to honorflight.org, or you can go to honorflightccc.org, and there's a link on there.
So if you Google Honor Flight, it's easy to find you.
You can Google Honor Flight, and you will get hooked up with Honor Flights all across the country. So if anybody's listening to this anywhere in the country, they can go to honorflight.org.
Okay. How many trips have you been on?
This was my fourth one, I think. I was trying to figure that out on the way back. It's either the fourth or fifth one. I'd turn around. You know, I come back from these things, and I am exhausted. But
you're ready to go next week.
You know, I'd have turned around last night and done it. It means that much to me.
Yeah.
To get these guys back there. If we had the money, we'd do these things all year round. But, you know, that's what's holding us back more than anything is money. And like I said, there is no, you know, we're not hiding dollars anyplace. Every penny goes to these veterans.
I guess, as you say that, I think it's important. I was surprised when we first were introducing each other and talking before the program and everything that that other than Bob, who is clearly a veteran, okay, that the other two of you are not veterans, because the assumption I think for a lot of people is that this is veterans helping veterans, and that's not what it's about.
No. Most of the our treasurer and our vice president of our local honor flight are the only people that have been in the military. But the rest of us, Greg, me, Bear, our secretary, none of us have been in the military. I missed Vietnam by micrometers. And I kind of feel bad that I wasn't in the military. And I like to think of this as my service.
Well, you've done a great job.
Yeah, well put. Very well put.
And so you, Bear.
Yeah. Bear, jump on in.
Well, you know, this program wouldn't be possible without the public. And like Bruce says, you know, the funding comes from the public. You know, we have a few things coming up this weekend. There's an event called Vino for Vets that's being held with some of the wineries up in the North County that is going to be out there and give certain proceeds to Honor Flight for the weekend. We also have the Best of the West. I think we're going to be there with our booth. And we're out there not only to raise a little money, but we're also out there to find veterans. And, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for more and more veterans. We know there's more World War II veterans out there that haven't heard about Honor Flight, and we really want to get those guys and get them signed up so we can get them back to Washington, D.C., so they can get the thank yous that they deserve. Another event we got coming up this weekend on Sunday, we're down at Black Lake Golf Course with a concert on the greens with J.D. Hardy. There again, it's something to honor the veterans, and I know that we'll be finding more veterans down there to get signed up, and we're really looking forward to continuing what we're doing and getting these men and women back to Washington so they can see their memorial and get the recognition that they truly, truly deserve.
So a lot of the veterans may not even be aware of what you're doing. I mean, I would hopefully that the grapevine of information is good enough, and we're in a small enough area of the country that people talk to each other. But there may be situations where children or grandchildren of a World War II veteran may have a grandfather or grandmother that that hasn't had a chance to basically be part of this yet. Greg, jump on in.
You know, that's the thing is we need the word of mouth. A lot of these guys don't belong to your VFWs. They don't even take benefits from the VA. They don't go to a Legion post. There was a guy on this last trip just 2 days ago. He says, "You look familiar." And I go, "I know. I can't figure out where you're from." And we were talking about it. And what happened was I met him 5 years ago. I went to his house, explained what we were trying to do here in this county, and he was supposed to be on an original flight. His son told him that this was a scam, and that's why he never turned his application in. 5 years later, I asked him, "You think this is a scam now?" He said, "The only scam that's going to happen to me is I'm going to make a donation to you guys when I get back."
My goodness. It's wonderful to hear. Thanks very much.
We appreciate the media getting the word out.
I thank you very much. This is one of the best programs I've ever had the honor to do, so I thank you very much. To our listeners, it's Memorial Day weekend. You can go to the beach, you can go out of town, you can do anything you want, but please make sure that that you don't forget our veterans. And they're wonderful things and wonderful sacrifices that we don't recognize and honor effectively, which I think is very important. And I thank you all for being here with us today. This is Central Coast Voices, as now I get to do my normal ending, and shifting gears on this one is a tough one. Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. I want to remind you that we do a report every 3 years called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County, and that report's available at actionslo.org. Chris Kington Barker will be with you next week. And at this point, I actually don't have notes on her program, so I'm not quite sure who she has for guests next week, but she'll be with you next week, and I'll be back 2 weeks from now. We're not only sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the Community Foundation, but we're also doing this in collaboration with KCBX, which allows us to have the airtime here, and I appreciate that, and their production help and assistance. The program is also underwritten by a grant from Joan Gellert Sargent. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org or at 543-2323. Thank you to my guests today, Bear McGill, Bob Busick, Bruce McGrath, and coming in late but still here, Greg McCall. And I thank you. I thank you all for being here. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank a veteran.